Music begins right now on FM 90.9 with John Frayne sitting in for Victor Geronimo. And we'll stay with Morning Edition on WILL AM. No agricultural report this morning. Coming up on Morning Edition, the FAA has picked six states which will get to test unmanned aerial vehicles or drones. The sites will begin testing how to integrate the drones into U.S. airspace, sharing the skies with passenger planes. That story just ahead. Mostly cloudy today, a high of 25 degrees. Tonight cloudy, a slight chance of light snow with a low around 20. Tonight cloudy skies, 40% chance of snow in the forecast, a high of 35. A better chance of snow tomorrow night with light accumulation, the low 18 degrees, colder Thursday. Cloudy, a high of 22. Very cloudy and cold Thursday night, the low 5 degrees. Sunny skies on Friday with a high of 19. And Friday night, partly cloudy, the low 14, not as cold Saturday, a high around 32. It's 17 in Danville, 18 in Decatur, 16 at Willard Airport, 18 on Friends Plaza at 9 minutes before 9.
NPR's business news starts with backing off the power. Though our lives are more gadget-filled than ever, home electricity use fell in the United States for the third year in a row. It's now at its lowest level since 2001. According to the U.S. Energy Department, this is because big household appliances are more efficient than ever before. New federal energy standards have the typical window air conditioner using 20% less power than they did 12 years ago. Fridges, dishwashers, and washing machines are also more efficient. The Energy Department also predicts that home electricity use will continue to fall in 2014, a bit of good news for our planet and for our pocketbooks.
And if you start hearing a buzzing noise in your community in the next few months, here's a possible reason why. You live in one of the six states chosen yesterday for testing unmanned drone aircrafts. Among the states selected by the Federal Aviation Administration is New York. Ryan Delaney of members station WRVO in upstate New York reports that the potential for job creation and investment was behind that state's decision to submit a bid.
The FAA picked New York along with Alaska, Nevada, North Dakota, Texas, and Virginia to help it figure out how drones can safely take to the skies along with passenger airplanes by the end of 2015. The drone industry is estimated to be worth billions of dollars and tens of thousands of jobs over the next decade, says Michael Toscano of the Association of Unmanned Vehicle Systems International.
As this technology emerges, and there's going to be a plethora of different opportunities and utilization that we haven't even thought of yet. And so when you talk about job creations, it is going to create, I think, high-paying, good jobs.
In New York, whatever comes here will be well appreciated. 40 defense companies and colleges teamed up to win the bid. It'll be headquartered at an old upstate Air Force base with about 3,000 new jobs. Rob Simpson, president of the group, says that's a big number in a part of the state that's struggled with high unemployment and population decline.
We're looking at this instead as an opportunity to create good jobs for people right here in central New York.
New York will work with the FAA over the next few months, with the goal of drones taking off by the summer. For NPR News, I'm Ryan Delaney in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, we're seeing more signs of recovery in the housing market. Last month, foreclosure filings dropped to their lowest levels since the housing crisis hit in 2007, and overall home prices are up nationwide. But recovery is not the narrative everywhere. In some states, like Connecticut, foreclosures in 2013 have been up significantly over the year before. Reporter Kaomi Getz of member station WSHU has the story.
Holly House has shoulder-length red hair, a big smile, and a trusting demeanor. She sits in front of a stack of papers and has no problem talking about one of the biggest messes of her life.
My situation is I'm trying to save my home.
The 45-year-old divorced mother of three was the first one to arrive for a recent foreclosure clinic in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's run by a nonprofit that helps people hang on to their homes. Holly House's ex-husband left her with a loan on a multifamily home with a dollar amount that's way over her head.
The loan was over $400,000 and the house is only worth $155,000.
This year, Connecticut is getting hit with 2,000 new foreclosures each month. That's 200 more a month than last year. That's a dramatic difference from much of the country.
The decline that we saw in November was the biggest month-over-month drop that we've seen in those 3 years.
Darren Bloomquist is an analyst for data firm RealtyTrack. It just put out its monthly foreclosure report. And last month, the number of foreclosure starts nationwide dropped by a third to just under 53,000. Here in Connecticut, it's going the other way. Foreclosure filings are up by more than a third. Bloomquist says Maryland, Pennsylvania, and about a dozen others are in the same boat. But why is that? He says it's because they actually tried to do something about the foreclosure crisis early on. For example, Connecticut started mediation programs to help homeowners and lenders work out their problems. But in some cases, that just delayed the inevitable. It created a backlog of cases that are now hitting the system.
I would say there is something tying them all together, and it's primarily states that I would say kick the can down the road with the foreclosure problem, in a sense.
And it doesn't help that Connecticut is a judicial foreclosure state, tying the process to the courts. That can drag out a foreclosure to 2 years in Connecticut. In states like Arizona that don't involve the courts, foreclosure rates are dropping. It typically takes only several months to complete a foreclosure there. Connecticut lawmakers defend their system. Carlo Leone, a Democratic state senator, says the extra time helps homeowners.
From a bank's perspective, it lengthens the time frame for them to get the foreclosures off their books. So for them, it's a negative. But for homeowners that go through the process and those that are able to stay in their home, it's actually a positive process.
Homeowners have more time to gather the necessary paperwork. Court mediators make sure the same bank negotiators remain on cases. And that will be a big help for homeowner Holly House. She says her mortgage lender so far refuses to work with her because she's too far in debt. She's hoping a mediator will at least get them talking. For NPR News, I'm Kayomi Getz.
And now to today's last word in business, which is another F word, this one, Frappuccino.
This is really a David versus Goliath tale. Lawyers representing Starbucks wrote a cease and desist letter to the Exit 6 pub and brewery in Cottleville, Missouri, population 3,500.
In the letter, the giant coffee chain told the owner of the pub to stop referring to one of its dark, frothy beers as the Frappuccino, noting that it sounds an awfully lot like Starbucks' trademarked frozen coffee drink.
Lacking a legal team of his own, the Exit 6 owner opted for a sarcasm defense. In a very tongue-in-cheek reply to Starbucks, Jeff Britton expressed surprise that his customers would order a beer thinking they were getting a chilled coffee.
But he wrote that from now on, he would only refer to his beer as the F word to avoid the risk of lawsuits. And he included with his letter a check for $6, which he said should cover any profits made from the three beers they sold under the trademark name. And that's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm David Green.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Cigna, a global health service company dedicated to helping people improve their health, well-being, and sense of security at Cigna.com. From Living Essentials, distributor of 5-Hour Energy Shot with B vitamins, amino acids, zero sugar, and 4 calories, 5HourEnergy.com. And from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.
In the forecast for the region today, we're expecting mostly cloudy skies, a high in the mid-20s. Cloudy tonight with a chance of light snow. The low 20 degrees, cloudy tomorrow. A chance of snow, the high around 35 for New Year's Day. Snow likely tomorrow night with light accumulation and a low around 18 degrees. Colder and cloudy Thursday, a chance of snow, the high 22. Colder and mostly cloudy Thursday night, the low down to 5 degrees. Sunny Friday, the high 19. It's 18 in Danville and Decatur. 17 at Willard Airport, 18 on Friends Plaza. BBC News is next. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL and WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. Again, 18 degrees on Friends Plaza. It's 9 o'clock.
Graphene is a wonder material for the 21st century, a single atom layer with remarkable properties. This revolutionary discovery came from two physicists at Manchester University in England, for which they won the Nobel Prize 3 years ago. And scientists are now looking for opportunities to develop new and unexpected applications for graphene.
The Gates Foundation is funding the university to look into the scope for graphene in condoms.
But sceptics are already wondering if Asia and the United States have stolen a march on the country which first isolated graphene. They're certainly well ahead in taking out thousands of patents on the substance. Will Britain be able to compete in the global race to commercialise this remarkable new material? Join me, Jerry Northam, after the news for Riding the Graphene Wave.